All hear me okay? I always get excited to come here. My heart jumps. It literally jumps to come and to sing with you and to be a part of you over the last year it's been. And Arnie, trying to get the name right, when he that this morning gave his testimony, you know, that is so wonderful to hear how God works in our lives and how we can get saved in an auto repair shop. That's pretty cool. And then when Arnie read from God's word in Luke and how there were 10, but only one took time. And so I had originally intended to do Luke chapter 5 with you, and I called Larry and said, Larry, have you guys done Luke lately? And he goes, well, if we have, we can do it again. And God brought me to Luke 2. But we're going to talk a little bit about the neatness of the book of Luke. And by the way, if you get tired, there's pillows in the back. You can just go get a pillow, and if I see you get up, I'll be more enthusiastic to help you. But we're going to look at Luke, and the little theme I have is Jesus is for everyone. And we're going to spend time looking at that. Now, who is Dr. Luke? We're going to go to the Word of God. Well, let's go to the Word of God first, and then we'll come back to who is Luke. Luke 5. This is originally where I was going to take you. So it was as the multitude pressed around him to hear the Word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is also the Sea of Galilee, okay? But the point that I wanted to get us started with today, I feel nervous about being in the pulpit. I just, you know, but I'll stand over here. I'm sorry. What I mean by that is when you're in the pulpit, you're standing up to reveal God's word. And I don't feel honored enough to do that sometimes. I just don't feel worthy enough. So in my unworthiness, I come to you to share what God's burdened on my heart. But I want you to take a look at how neat this is. The people were crowding him around the lake. They wanted to hear the word of God so much, the people were crowding him. Think about that. Do you get excited when you read God's word? Do you get excited when your pastor opens God's word? Do you get excited when you're doing devotions? This is the kind of mindset I'd like us to have today as we look at God's word. So let's spend a moment in prayer right now, preparing our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we ask that you can help us to be excited, that you can help us to hear what you'd have us to hear. Lord, you've been working on my mouth and my heart and my mind for 2 months to prepare what you'd have me to teach today. So Lord, we just pray that those of us that are struggling with health issues or financial issues or whatever, we can set them aside and we can focus on you. Fill this room, fill these people, fill us with the Holy Spirit, and may we honor and glorify you because it's all about you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Dr. Luke, who is he? When you look at a book and you read something in the Bible, let's understand who it was written to, right? And about the author. So Luke was a doctor. He was a Gentile, and that's kind of important to think about. He was a smart guy. He looked, as a doctor, you look into the details about things. If you're going to diagnose something, you have to look into what's going on, right? So that's what he did when he prepared to write this book. He's also neat. If you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew is a book about the Messiah, right? Each one has a different thing, how they come together. Luke now is a book about the God-man. Then we have Mark, who's to do with a servant. And then we have John, which is like my favorite, God. In the beginning was the Word. You know, that's a neat thing. So when we look at Luke, we're going to look at more of a personality or personal thing for us. So I want us to be thinking about, so Luke chapter 5, let's get excited. Because to hear the word of God, and we're about to look at this. Now, Jesus is for everyone. Now, we're going to look at chapter 2. Now, the reason why we're looking at chapter 2, hopefully will become very obvious. We've been all dealing with Christmas, correct? We've been all dealing with the Christmas story. So now let's look at it in a more personal nature. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now that's an interesting thing. It's really interesting. The Romans were very good at doing censuses. And why did they do that? Anybody know? Count the people. And you count people for what reason?
Money.
Money! Taxes. And they were very good at managing that. So Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is Bethlehem. Now, the reason why we're reading the Christmas story, we're looking at it on a personal level now. Now, I flipped the map on the side, so all those who want to look at it right way, turn like this. Okay? It is 31 hours of walking between way up here, Nazareth, to way down here, Bethlehem. I had to Google that. 31 hours. So can any of you imagine taking a pregnant lady 31 hours? It's just something kind of to think about, what they must have been going through, right? You think about Mary, and we're not going to get into chapter 1, because Mary and Luke chapter 1 talks about Mary being told that she's going to have a baby, Joseph being told he's going to be the father, being the earthly father to care for this, and to go through this process. There's a lot going on. God has a plan. Remember from the last book of the Old Testament to the first book in the New Testament was 400 years of no information. All of a sudden, wow, Jesus is coming into the earth. So, and she brought his firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is what made me get excited to bring this story to you. No room at the inn. So let's look at that from a couple perspectives. Number one, no room. We just read about the lepers. Only one of them took time to get involved and to thank Jesus. One of the things Lois and I recently did about 2 years ago is we moved a mile down the road. In moving that mile down the road, I got to stay in the pulpit. I'm sorry. I'll stay here, okay? I'll do a better job. Sorry. But in beginning to know the people in my community so I can get to love them, so I can share the gospel to them, a lot of them come from a Catholic background. Now, I'm not saying that's a terrible thing, but a lot of times people through their faith kind of practice a faith, but really don't dig in. There's no room for Jesus in their lives. They go through catechism or they go to church, but really making a part of Jesus' life. So when I look at the words, no room for them at the end, most of the people I spend time with to share God's love with, they don't have time for Jesus. They don't have time to pray. They don't have time to read his words. They just don't have time. But they struggle with divorce. They struggle with things like their wife not loving them. They struggle with work. They have so much struggle, but they have no time. That's what we're going to look at, is how Mary thought through things, looking through too. Now, wrapped in a swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger. Now, what's really kind of neat about this is a manger was made out of stone in most cases. If you've ever been to Israel, which Lois and I have, there's not a lot of wood around. It was made of stone. And when you look at the sheep, and they would wrap the best lamb in swaddling clothes. Why did they wrap the best lamb in swaddling clothes? So he wouldn't hurt himself. Because if he was going to be a perfect lamb brought for a sacrifice, they would wrap him in a swaddling clothes. This is kind of neat stuff. And they'd put him in a stone manger to protect him. So now God's planned all this stuff out. They go to Bethlehem, and there's no room for them in Bethlehem. People don't have room in their hearts for the Lord. And it's kind of interesting how God provides a manger, kind of starting it off. When Lois and I got married, we got ripped off at our wedding. We had no money for our honeymoon, literally nothing. It's kind of funny how God takes everything away sometimes, so you all of a sudden realize he's in charge. But there's no room. The reason why I want us to think about that is, in your life, do you have room for Jesus? Do you have room for him to take part in your life and to control your life? Or is he somebody you just come to on Sunday morning? I'm not saying that to judge you, because we all go through different phases in our life, don't we? Sometimes we feel like we're growing in the Lord, we're learning new things, our wife loves us, we're happy, and then other times we're struggling, right? We go back and forth. It's just the way of the world. But what my challenge is, as we look at No Room for the End, we're going to look at some things, and I want you to listen to this video, please.
Look around you. There's so much work to do. This world is in no condition for us to simply sit back and watch. There is a tangible, desperate need for Jesus. A glimpse of hope in the midst of hopelessness. Jesus experienced this. He saw it firsthand. The need broke his heart and filled him with compassion. He turned to his disciples and said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." This alone should stir our hearts. It's a calling. A calling to make a difference. To share the truth of the gospel. To be a light in the darkness. To be the church. It's time for us to look beyond ourselves. To turn our focus to the field. To answer the call and passionately share the love of Jesus. This is our mandate. This is our mission. Are you ready to do the work?
So, I just want to put those there to make sure I don't forget them. We're called. And I want to take a moment and be in prayer for your church, be in prayer for each one of us as we look at 2022 and we think of what has God gotten planned for us in this year. Because God loves each and every one of you intentionally, that he died on the cross for you, that you could have eternal life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at Luke and as we look at these things, Lord, you have a plan for us, and you have a plan for this church here, and you have a plan for Pastor Williams as he's coming. But each and every one of us, you have something in store for us. So as we look at your word, that, Lord, you'd help us to be looking at our lives and think, how can we be your disciple? How can we love other people the way Christ loved? Lord, we ask you to give us the strength as we go out and we travel in our jobs and our work and all the different things that we do, that we'd honor and glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So 31 hours, that's intentionality, is it not? To do something for 31 hours. Luke, now so please feel free to open your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 2, we're going to work our way through. I'm not going to do it verse by verse, I'm kind of topically going through it, okay? People comfortable with that? Shake your head, yes? If you're not comfortable, shake your head, no? Oh, praise the Lord, nobody shook their head, no. Okay, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, for there's no room at the inn. Going to 10 now. Now remember, the theme is Jesus is for everyone. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is to all people." Now first of all, do not be afraid. I find that an interesting thing. That's like 365 times in the Bible. Do not be afraid. How many people get afraid? Okay. When it's time to share the gospel with someone, how many get afraid? My heart drops. It's like, and this is a common thing. There's a great song out there by Crashed and Crowns that talks about taking just a moment of that discomfort. And I challenge you that part of what we're going to talk about today is become comfortable being prepared. Now it says, I bring you tidings of great joy, which is to all people. So the Sunday school was about thinking through things, right? So today we're going to think through this. Is the gospel not good tidings of great joy for all people? Is it not? So when we think of an angel saying, fear not, when you're going to talk about God, or you're going to talk about love, or you're going to talk with a fellow worker about, you know, I know you're struggling. Can I pray for you? You know, I go to church with my church family, and we have a chance to look at God's word, and he really can share some great, peaceful things. So can I pray? Do I have permission to pray for you? You know, conversations like that, because we have good tidings of great joy. 19 through 20, but Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. So it's this, I just get excited. This lines up so neat with the Sunday school lesson, because pondering things in your heart. Remember, Luke is about man. It's about the fact of God-man. It's a fact about the relationships between Joseph and Mary and John the Baptist. Pondering things in the heart. That means thinking about things. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told them. The things you're seeing in God's word, the things you're being told, Arnie. I'm trying very hard to get Arnie. When he shared how... he said to the pastor, this prayer thing doesn't work. You know, it's interesting, but even to Christians, prayer thing cannot seem to work at times. And interesting enough, we brought Christmas gifts for all of you. And one of those things is a video called The War Room. How many people are familiar with The War Room? We brought videos. We want you to take them. We want you to watch it because it reminds you the power of prayer. Cast your care upon him because he cares for you. It's not our job to change the world. It's God's job to change the world. We're supposed to be people of prayer. And so take the video, watch it. If you've already seen, give it away to somebody. It's a purpose, the idea of sharing God's love. And thinking all things that they heard and seen as it was told them. So think when you leave church next Sunday morning with Pastor Chris, right? Think on those things. Fathers, as you sit down at the dinner table, ask questions of your kids about those things. If you're a grandfather, talk to your grandkids about things of God. Ask questions. Talk to your wife. She knows more about this stuff than I do. I get really excited. I've learned something new. I sit down, I show her, and she says, yeah, that, and that. Lois was raised in the pew. I was not. But her mother taught Vacation Bible School. Her uncle and his wife and your family started a church in New Boston. I got saved. My mother-in-law shared the gospel with me, and I got saved. See, the things you do make a difference. I'm sorry if I'm getting too deep here. Jesus is for everyone. Everyone. You know, one of the things that I was really, when you brought up, you come from a Catholic background. A lot of the people that is in my community come from a Catholic background. I believe there are Catholics that are saved. I believed there are Catholics yet to hear the word of God. I believe there are Baptists, don't tell anybody, but sometimes they haven't been told the word of God. It's our job to share that with them. Amen? So that means being a little uncomfortable at times. 22, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So 8 days the child is circumcised. Forgive me, not sacrificed. It's close. Okay. So they bring him to the Lord. See, I'm Kevin. I'm a human person, right? And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, this is really kind of cool, because they bring Jesus to the temple to offer a sacrifice. Now, normally, if you were rich, you'd bring a perfect lamb. That perfect lamb that was in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But they were poor, so they were able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. But they brought the Lamb of God. And it's kind of neat when you look into these things. The Christmas story has so much more depth. I love this. The old guy comes into the play. I like being an old guy. I is one of those. Maybe some of you will understand. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout. Think of that neat. That they wrote in God's word about Simeon being just and devout. Isn't that neat? If somebody said to you that you were just and devout, that's a huge compliment. In today's world, that doesn't get said very much. Now, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Do you realize how special it was in the Old Testament for the Holy Spirit to be upon someone? I think we as Christians take that for granted, because when we have Christ coming and giving us the Holy Spirit when we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit. We almost take it for granted. Back in that dispensation, it was very special for the Holy Spirit to be upon you. Amen? So, the Holy Spirit is upon this man, and Jesus is brought in. Now, I want to take a look at this word, consolation. Consolation comes from the Greek word parakletos, which means counselor, refresher, comforter of Israel. Think of that. Do you sometimes need refreshment? Do you sometimes need a counselor? You do. Jesus is brought as a refresher. So when you have somebody at work that's struggling with a divorce or needs comfort, what's the solution? That's a question. The answer is?
Jesus.
Gee, very good. The answer is?
Jesus.
I'm just getting you worked up now. You know, so there's an answer, and it's our job, because Luke, Jesus is for everyone. Now we're going to jump to 30 to 32. I only have like 10 more minutes, so I'm trying to move along good. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Think about this. A man full of the Spirit says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, for which you've prepared from the face of the prophets a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now understand, to the Gentiles as well. That's really cool. Because the Israelites are chosen people of God. The fact now it's being brought to the Gentiles, it's for everyone. Now this is the heartbreaker. And Joseph, did I skip over something? No, not yet. Maybe I'm out of order. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of them. You're a new mom and dad. You've traveled 31 hours. You go to a place where God's supposed to be providing for everything, and there's no room, right? And you have this baby, and you have kings, and you have shepherds showing up. You have a star in the sky. All this stuff is going on. If you're a mom and dad, aren't you overwhelmed? Right? So just, I want you to think of it as a human perspective. When my first child came in, I was more concerned, how am I going to care for them? How am I going to feed him? How am I going to take care of this wife and child? It's like when we first got married, we got our first mortgage. How am I going to pay $300 a month? That was a long time ago. But we're real. We go through these things. Then Simeon blessed them and said, Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. All of a sudden, you're being confirmed more that this is the Son of God. How would you like to be the father of the Son of God? That would be overwhelming to me. But look, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Now, the Roman army wanted peace all the time. And they were hoping that Jesus would come with great battle and take over the Roman. So this whole thing of rise in many in Israel, and a sign which will be spoken against. A spoken against is not usually for something, right? It's against. It usually stirs up trouble. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Now, they say this was written specifically for Mary. If you saw your son killed, murdered on the cross, would that be like driving a sword through your heart? Some people have had to bury their son or daughter. Just 2 weeks ago, we had a suicide in our church. A young teenager committed suicide. A year earlier than that, we had another young man commit suicide. It drives a sword through your heart. Am I being too emotional here? I want you to grab a hold of God's word. Not just look at it for the Christmas story, but look at it for what God's trying to tell you. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This is going to change your life. Now, again, trying to stay within the time, I'm not going to dig into all this, but John the Baptist, it said in Luke chapter 3 that John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born from woman. Think about that. That when you look at Luke, think about the story. And John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Now understand, when John the Baptist first saw Mary, mom was about 6 months pregnant at the time, and John jumped with joy in the womb. It also said John was full of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that kind of neat? A baby in the womb jumping full of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Think about what that means. God is preparing. So then, and the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, the rough ways smooth, and the flesh shall see the salvation of God. So John the Baptist is out there. Now, I don't know if you can kind of see the valley. If you're in Nazareth and you look out over the plain, you actually see the valley. In that valley is where Gideon fought. In that same valley is where Armageddon's going to happen. So when Lois and I were there and saw this valley, it is huge. It is huge, and I believe it's so big there's an airport hidden underground. The Israelite army is hidden underground. It says there's going to be a battle in Armageddon. There's going to be so much blood. How high is that blood going to come up? Does anybody know? The horse's bridle. Think of how huge that is, and there's going to be so much. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I want you to look at God's word now, not just reading it, but digging into it. And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." This is 30 years later after he was born. Now, I'm not going to try to answer all your questions or the questions I have as I go through this. But the point, though, is Jesus is born, and 30 years later is when he starts his ministry. 30 years. Anybody have an idea about why it takes 30 years? I'm sorry, a little louder? Mature. Well, it's interesting, in the Jewish tradition, you didn't serve as a priest until you were between 30 and 50. That's kind of a neat answer. But during that whole time, Jesus was interacting with people. And Jesus didn't sin. It's kind of an interesting, so I need you to spend more time on that, because that's the beginning of Jesus' Galilean ministry. In chapter 4, if you read through that, he actually goes into the temple and he reads the word of God, Isaiah. Now, it's interesting because they're all kind of looking at each other, because Jesus was well respected, But as soon as he called himself God, that flipped everything upside down. So these are the things that I want you to think about today. Now, when it was his day, he departed and went into the desert place, and the crowd sought him and came to him, and they tried to keep him from leaving. When you try to keep somebody from leaving, why is that? That's a question you answer. Why is that? If you were trying to keep somebody from leaving, why would that be? You like it. Or you're going to incarcerate them because they've done something really bad. In this case, they wanted to hear more. Remember in Luke 5:1 that we're getting ready to get into? People needed hope. People were listening and they were taking this in. That's what I want you guys to be doing, is listening, reading God's word and taking it in. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because this purpose I have been sent. Did Jesus have a purpose? Do you have a purpose? Go ye therefore, make disciples, teaching them. We need to open our lives and pour ourselves into our children, pour ourselves into our wives, pour ourselves into our grandchildren, pour ourselves into our neighbors. Now, I'm not saying that you have to take and get in their life and stick the Bible in their face. One of the things, the reason why we brought gifts, another thing that I'll tell you about, is we brought another book called Love Always, or Everyone Always, Everybody Always, I'm sorry. This book talks about a lawyer. Hey, it's like Larry's brother, a lawyer. Basically, he does things to pour his life into people so he can share the gospel with them. So this is a great book. Another book, this is of a lady that came out of a lesbian lifestyle. Because she sat down with a pastor, I don't know, some of you may know of Miss Rosea Butterfield. Have you heard of her before? Great testimony how a pastor didn't judge her because of her lifestyle, shared God's word with her, loved her for a period of time. She got saved, left the lifestyle, became a pastor's wife, and has written books about it. So we're sharing, bringing these gifts for you. They're out there in the pew. Take them. Read them. After you get done with them, repass them on to somebody along with a Bible, right? You don't have to give them a Bible immediately. But it's the idea of getting in their lives, right? Because I have a purpose. God sent me here to remind you, just because you got a pastor coming, praise the Lord, amen? Amen. Do that again. Amen? Amen? You know, that's a great gift. You should remember that, especially you've been without that gift for a while. I remember I was here before you were calling the previous pastor, right? It's a tough thing to go through. It's a tough thing. But now what I'm here to challenge you is you have a purpose. This is not just about this man in the pulpit. If you spend time in God's word, growing, wrestling through it, that's the best help you can be to this man. Because the Holy Spirit's going to work in you. And then you can help him. You know, there was a conversation this morning about COVID and the effect of the church, and I'm going to stay on time, I promise. COVID and the effect of the church, it's affecting all of us. But one of the neat things you can do is reach out to your neighbors. Give a call to the people you haven't seen, not for the purpose of dragging them back from church, just to get in their lives and love them. God will do the rest. Please watch this video. The important thing is to do these things in love. Now, I picked that particular video because some people are like playing an instrument, some people were riding a bike, some people were cooking. Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Be intentional to share the gospel. I would challenge each and every one of you for 2022 to be ready to share the gospel. It's very simple. This video might help. Oh, well, I'm not quite there yet. Okay. How are you going to show God's love? I was there in my mind, just not in the slides. What is your prayer life like? If you're not spending time in prayer, and as Arnie said, when you read God's word, God's talking to you. I love that. My heart jumped when you talked this morning. Praise the Lord for your service. And when you pray, you're talking to God. That's a two-way conversation. Isn't that neat? What is your plan to grow in relationship with God? So one of the things that I have to do is I have to go down to the gym, what do you call it, the elliptical, and I work out. I get bored doing that. How many people get bored working out? Only me, okay. So I've started to watch different pastors online. COVID has spread out a whole new world. So I can go back and watch different pastors or different speakers and teachers, and I've learned a lot. It gets me excited. How did I prep for here today? I'm going to show you a little bit more of that. So there are different things online. This Dr. Chuck Missler is what I use to help prepare for today. It's right online, guys. You can learn this stuff. The things I'm telling you wasn't like God said, Kevin, I'm going to tell you these things. I was able to listen to some of these things. Dr. Tony Evans, Priscilla Schreier is in this book, The War Room. And ladies, if you haven't looked her up, you should look her up. She has some pretty amazing things to encourage you with, her testimony. But the reason why I'm sharing this with you is simply the things that I'm telling you is what I've done to learn and spending times in God's Word to share with you today. You can do this too. There's nothing special about Kevin other than God died for me. He gave me a beautiful wife to love me and has given me two wonderful kids that still love me. Isn't it amazing? They still love me after all this time. If you really knew me, you'd know that's very amazing. So if someone asked you today about God, what would you say? Are you ready for that? I beg you, in 2022, get ready. I carry around with me a couple tracts, and I also made a little business card for myself. It's just a card on the back. It has John 3:16 on it. It gives them my email address and my phone number so they can follow up with me if they'd like. Nobody's ever followed up with me. I'm sorry, they haven't. But it's not up to me to save people. It's only me to plant the seed. Does that make sense? So I'm just encouraging you, be ready always to give and answer the hope that lies within you. Because if you don't, you're not doing what you've been asked to do by the Great Commission. Amen? I'm not trying to be mean or rude. Live your life the way you live it. You don't have to change it. Just as you live your life, get into people's lives. Is it good news or is it bad news? Are you glad that somebody shared Jesus Christ with you? Share that with others. You can't tell I'm big into evangelism, can you? So, watch this and then I finish up. I think we talk a lot about the good news and we talk a lot about the gospel, but sometimes, like that little prayer, just telling people, it's very simple. Just admit you're a sinner. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Ask God to forgive you. Acknowledge him as Lord and Savior of your life. Pray to him to forgive you and to fill you with his wisdom and knowledge so you can move forward unto him. You know, everybody has just a little bit different way of wording the same thing. But that prayer, the reason why I use that is today, if there's someone here that's never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's how simple it is. And if you have any questions, please come see Larry in the back at the manager's car dealership desk. I kind of tease him. Or see your deacons, or come and see me, or whatever, or Arnie. I've been working at it. By the way, I asked him, how do I remember your same name? And he said, Bert and Ernie, but it's Arnie. So I just want you to know that that's how your brother loves you in the Lord. So as we finish up, shaking your head, no, I just want you to think about when you go to God's Word, come to it excited about it. Because we went through the message that's the shepherds, but there was so much more, was there not? And all God's people said, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of having your word. I thank you that you've allowed me to open my heart and open your word to these folks. We pray for them as they transition to their new pastor, that you would fill them for the Holy Spirit and wisdom that they can love him. He will be different. We're all different, so be patient, Lord. Help them to be patient. Help them to stretch a little bit beyond what they normally would think or do, that they can grow individually, whether it's working out on the treadmill, whether it's listening to a videotape, whether it's listening to a CD, whether it's spending time in God's Word, wrestling with something. Lord, we pray you'd fill this family with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Bless them in 2022. And Lord, help this to be your church and help these people to go into community and share your love. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you very much. And as a reminder, the gifts are on the pew out there in the back.